Thank you for joining us. Tonight's top stories are about Wilkes-Barre's increase in meter fees, last week's Martin Luther King Jr. program, and a lecture on the Molly Maguires. Later, we'll hear from our music director, Sam Zavada, with a Music Monday, and our sports director, Dan Stokes, with a Monarch Sports Update. After that, we'll get the weather forecast for the next few days. The meter fees in Wilkes-Barre have recently doubled in expense from $1 to $2 an hour. The new meter fees have caused some outrage among students who rely on meter parking as part of their daily commute. Social media and promotions director Jamie Rosenkranz has the story.
The city of Wilkes-Barre recently raised their parking meter prices from $1 an hour to $2 an hour. This new price is comparable to the prices in bigger cities like New York City or Philadelphia. Since head of security Mark Naylor sent the email right before the semester started, students have been deciding if it's even worth parking there or not. Commuter Kayla Kraczynski was recently able to sit down and tell us about how the fees being raised affect students like her.
Most of the time I park at the parking meters. It's just more convenient. Now that the price went up so much, I could only park there if it's an emergency, if I'm late. A dollar was one thing. That's pretty expensive for a parking meter, but doubling that is making it so much harder, especially for a commuter like me, because I go to school full-time here, and I have a part-time job that I'm always at, and I'm doing a million other things, and I don't make enough money to pay for the parking that the school provides.
Kayla is a transfer student and thinks the price for parking passes on campus is a little too steep. She tells us more next.
I transferred here from a state school, and the parking there for commuters or for residents that want to bring their cars, it was under $50 per semester. And to be in the hundreds here, that's impossible for somebody like me. I can't do it. So I have to find alternative ways to park, and this is just making it more difficult.
At the meters, students have the option to pay either in change or use parking apps. Although the app may be convenient, there is an additional fee of 14 cents. This may be small to some students, but it's a deal breaker for others.
I used to use change, but the app is more convenient. But the app also adds a few extra cents for using it, and it doesn't seem like a lot. I think it's only 14 or 15 cents extra per hour, but it adds up, especially if you're parking there every day.
Wilkes-Barre dropped the ball on the fees doubling on January 8th of this year. Mayor of Wilkes-Barre, Tony George, said this will generate more money for the cash-strapped city. He claims it will attract people to the city, but Kayla has a different take.
I just hope that the increase in the price is doing something for the city, at least. Like, I didn't do enough research myself, but I don't even know where meter money goes to. And if they're increasing the price, if they're doubling it, I sure hope it's doing something good for us.
According to an article on PAHomepage.com, Mayor George noted that 50 cents for 15 minutes is not that much, saying people throw that much for a candy bar anymore. Bill Scholl, manager of Circle's Deli on the Square, claims it's not the end of the world. This all may be true for people stopping at Dunkin' or Boscov's on the square, but for someone staying at school for a few hours, it's not ideal. So if you were planning on leaving your car at the meters one of these days, you might want to think twice about it. For 88.5 WRKC King's College Wilkes-Barre, I'm Social Media and Promotions Director Jamie Rosenkranz.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day was celebrated last Monday at King's College with a midday program. Program Director John Flynn attended the program where speakers emphasized King's legacy, contribution to society, and his commitment to service.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s legacy lived on as the Multicultural and International Club celebrated the life and work of the civil rights leader last Monday in a school-wide convocation. The event featured demonstrations, dances, and special speakers to celebrate the communities created under Dr. King's inspiration. Father Tom Looney began with remarks explaining how King's has a special place with the ideals of Dr. King, in which he reaffirmed the school's original purpose to serve sons of coal miners.
King's came into being under the inspiration of Catholic belief that we must always seek justice and serve the common good. King's, from its foundation, has been about providing access to higher education that is quality and value-based for its students from the very beginning.
Father Looney also added that Dr. King's tactics of civil disobedience were based on his deep Christian roots and the story about the freeing of the slaves in Egypt.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. drew his inspiration from the Hebrew scriptures and the great story of the freeing of God's people Israel from slavery in Egypt. So many of his sermons, so many of his talks were rooted in that profound sense that God seeks to liberate his people. but that we must cooperate with the grace and the action that God is bringing forth in our lives so that freedom can come to all.
Pastor Sean Walker of First Baptist Church, the keynote speaker of the event, talked about the opportunities he was given because of the work of Dr. King. Born and raised in a South Wilkes-Barre multiracial family, he learned a lot about himself through his family tradition.
And a big part of my upbringing was the church. Every Sunday, we would get up and make our way to 105 Hill Street and take our seats in the pews of Mount Zion Baptist Church. It was there where most of the strong black people I knew gathered.
Walker went deeper and explained how he always looked forward to an annual event commemorating black history at Mount Zion Baptist Church.
I remember it was a gigantic event. There were no empty seats because what felt like the entire community came out to honor and remember Dr. King and his legacy. I always looked forward to that night. I felt so proud to be a part of it. I felt really connected somehow in some way to Dr. King and for some reason. My favorite part of the night, though, was the end, and not because it was over, but because at the end of the program, we all would stand up, we would cross arms, hold hands, and sing, "We Shall Overcome."
One of the things he learned through Dr. King is that service requires sacrifice, and that we, as a whole, are accountable for occasionally putting the self over the other.
We get so involved in those lives, in our own well-being, that we perhaps ignore the lives and well-being of those that are around us. We get so involved in our own problems and the repercussions of those problems in our own families behind our own closed doors that we ignore the problems in our society, in our city, our county, our state, and maybe even our country. Now, I'm not judging you. I couldn't do that. I couldn't judge you, at least, without judging myself, because I am guilty of this, too.
Finally, in an era of polarized politics, Walker urged the audience to speak up about the issues.
We've got to talk about how our nation is divided, how our politics are broken. We need to talk about how the family is degrading, how poverty continues to wreak havoc in our society, how poverty impacts education and educational opportunities, and then the lack of education impacts poverty. We need to talk about the opioid epidemic and how it's quite literally destroying lives and tearing families apart. We need to talk about why people are so anxious and depressed. We need to talk about the nervousness that exists within. We've got a lot to talk about.
For the WRKC News at 5, I'm Program Director John Flynn.
The Molly Maguires were a type of vigilante group that challenged poor working conditions during the 19th century in northeast Pennsylvania coal mines. Station manager Katie Pugh spoke with senior New York Times editor Mark Bullock about the once secret society.
As part of Anthracite Mining Heritage Month, senior New York Times editor Mark Bullock discussed his research on the origins of the Molly Maguires at a public lecture held in the Burke Auditorium on Thursday. The Molly Maguires are known locally as a secret society of Irish-American laborers who took labor disputes into their own hands, often violently, to improve working conditions in northeastern Pennsylvania coal mines. 20 suspected Mollies were convicted of murder in what many consider an unfair trial. This part of the Molly's history is well known in the region, but Bullock presented the strange origins of the cryptic group. He explained how his interest was piqued by the local legend.
Well, it was one of the great newspaper stories of the 19th century. One of the things I did when I was researching was just go into the database at the New York Times, and, you know, there were all kinds of front page stories. But the way that I got interested in it personally is that my mom comes from a long line of Irish coal miners in the Anthracite region. They lived in Cass Township, which is where the Molly Maguires got started in Pennsylvania. And when I realized that this fairly quiet place that my mom used to take me to when I was little to, you know, visit various, you know, great aunts and everything, had actually been the cradle of this gigantic labor war, I got pretty interested.
Bullock became more and more intrigued by the untold history of the Mollies, mostly taking place in rural Ireland.
So, you know, I started, first real research I did was a term paper for a labor history course in college. But then, you know, much later I would read anything I could on the subject. And I finally started to think, you know, nobody's ever really told the story of the origins of the Molly Maguires. There's a lot of stuff out there about the 1870s because there's such a great paper trail. You've got court records, trial transcripts. You've got the reports from the Pinkerton detectives who went undercover. You've got newspaper stories of the kind that I could pull up on my screen. So there's just a voluminous amount of material on the 1870s. The 1860s, when things really took off, it's much more sparse. And that was the period that interested me.
As Bulick researched the group's origins, he came across some strange rituals that carried into their activity in the United States.
Also, I was very intrigued when I found out that the Mollies got started in Ireland. And I was really curious about this phenomenon of men dressing up as women to commit murders. That just seemed like a very odd thing to do. And, you know, the more I delved into it, the odder things got. I found out that a lot of the murders in Ireland, and actually some of the earliest murders in Pennsylvania, tended to happen right around big holidays. So I was like, what is the connection between, like, holidays and homicide? Why are these guys dressing up as women? What is this all about? So I started digging into it. Needed to do a couple of research trips to Ireland, which was fascinating, and spent a lot of time in the Anthracite region and in various archives in Washington and New York, and actually right outside Wilmington, because all of the Pinkerton reports are in an archive right outside Wilmington.
While the debate goes on about the morality of the Mollies and even whether or not the accused were guilty, Bulick remained neutral of judgment.
I was never really interested in my moral judgments about the Molly Maguires. I was far more interested in trying to figure out why what happened. And that ended up being a really interesting search. And that's basically what the book is about. How they first got started, why they first got started, and how the patterns of violence from Ireland were replicated in Pennsylvania.
Bulick does note, however, the important historical influence the Mollies had on the labor movement of the 1800s and early 1900s.
A lot of people kind of think they were dead ends of the labor movement, these kind of Neanderthals, but if you look at what happened in the Anthracite region in the 1860s and the 1870s, a lot of what happened here created a blueprint for what happened elsewhere. The creation, the use of Pinkerton detectives was pioneered here in the Anthracite region in industrial disputes. The use of Pinkertons in industrial disputes spread all over the country. The use of private police forces like the Coal and Iron Police started in the Anthracite region, spread all over the country. So I think that is the primary way that the influence of the Molly Maguires grew and spread over the years.
Bulick's book, The Sons of Molly Maguire, The Irish Roots of America's First Labor War, is available for hardcover or ebook purchase on Amazon. Anthracite Mining Heritage Month continues tonight at 7 at the Nanico Cultural Center on 38 West Church Street with a presentation on the Good Friday bombings of 1936. For the WRKC News at 5, I'm Station Manager Katie Pugh.
Stay tuned to WRKC for a Music Monday and a Monarch Sports update, followed by the weather.
When you think of the reasons people end up in the ER, you probably wouldn't think of West Nile virus from mosquitoes, asthma attacks from cockroaches, hantavirus from rodents, or Lyme disease from ticks. Even bites from fire ants and other stinging insects send 500,000 people here every year. But you could make a difference in helping to protect your family from pest-related illnesses. Go to pestworld.org to learn how. Why wait until there's an emergency?
Hey, this is JB.
This is Kyle of the D.
Of Tenacious D. You're listening to the WRKC, King's College Radio in Wilkes-Barre.
The News at 5 continues on 88.5 WRKC, Wilkes-Barre.
What's going on? This is Music Director Sam Zavada, and you're listening to the first Music Monday of 2018. Now, usually we like to focus on what the newest music out there is for Music Mondays, but my approach for this one is to play some of the less notable songs that came out in 2017. So, with no breaks in between and a disregard for genre consistency, here are some of my favorite songs from last year that received high critical praise but eluded commercial radio. This is 16 by Diet Sig, Forever Young by Lil Yachty, yeah, I know, and Told You So by Miguel. And that was today's Music Monday, featuring 16 by Diet Sig, Forever Young by Lil Yachty, and Told You So by Miguel. I hope you enjoyed these selections, and make sure to always tune in to the WRKC News at 5 to hear the best new music in college radio. I've been Sam Zavada, the music director at WRKC. Have a wonderful night.
This is your sports director, Dan Stokes, with your Monarch Sports Update. Since the break, the men's basketball team has amassed a 7-10 record. The Monarchs faced off against crosstown rival Wilkes University on Saturday at the Mart Center. The men's team played an excellent first half against the Colonels with a guard-driven lineup. The Monarchs saw their 38-30 halftime lead diminish in the second half. Wilkes used their size advantage down low in the post to get their 76-64 come-from-behind victory over Kings. Connor Calais led the way with 17 points. Noah Tanner added 14 as well. The Monarchs returned to the court this Wednesday as they take on DeSales University at 6 p.m. in a MAC Freedom Conference matchup. The women's basketball team compiled a 9-8 overall record over the break. The Lady Monarchs took on Wilkes in the first half of a doubleheader on Saturday. Kings and Wilkes were tied at the half 32-32. The Lady Monarchs erupted for a 75-59 victory. Alexis Stieber scored a career-high 23 points in the game. Olivia Hoffman had 11 rebounds. Sophomore point guard Mackenzie Yori scored 15. The Lady Monarchs returned to the court Wednesday with an 8 p.m. match. The men's ice hockey team has compiled an 0-17 record over the break. The Monarchs take on MAC rival Stevenson University at 7 p.m. The women's ice hockey team has amassed an 0-15-1 record. The Lady Monarchs return to the ice Friday, February 2nd, against Chatham University. King's College sophomore Kristen Seawee was named the Middle Atlantic Conference Women's Swimmer of the Week, the conference office announced on Monday. This marked her second conference award. The men's swimming team has a 7-2 overall record on the season, while the women have a 6-3 record. On on the season. The Monarch swimmers return to the pool this Saturday at Misericordia. King's College junior Jill Korjeski was named the Middle Atlantic Conference Women's Indoor Track and Field Athlete of the Week, conference office announced on Monday. Korjeski earned her 8th career Indoor Track and Field Conference Weekly Award and 2nd of the year after dominating a field of 43 throwers in the shot put at the Collegeville Classic on Saturday. Now in the world of professional sports, the Philadelphia Eagles defeated the Minnesota Vikings last night 38-7 to advance to the Super Bowl. Backup quarterback Nick Foles had a great performance, throwing for 352 yards and 3 touchdowns. Tight end Zach Ertz had 8 catches for 98 yards. The Eagles' defense had 3 interceptions. In 2 weeks, the Eagles will take on Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, who head to the Super Bowl for the 8th time since 2000. Super Bowl 52 will be played in Minneapolis, Minnesota, home of the Minnesota Vikings. The Philadelphia 76ers take on the Memphis Grizzlies tonight at 8 p.m. The 76ers are currently 7th in the Eastern Conference standings and have a 22-20 record on the season. The New York Knicks take on the Golden State Warriors tomorrow night. The Knicks are on the outside looking in terms of playoffs. They currently have a 21-26 overall record on the season. This has been your Monarch Sports Update for the WRKC News at 5. I'm Sports Director Dan Stokes.
And now for the weather. Tonight will be cloudy with a low of 44. Tomorrow will be rainy with a high of 53. And Wednesday will be a little bit colder with a high of 37. A spring serve information session will take place tomorrow at 4 p.m. at the Cheval Center. For more information on how to get involved, you can call 570-208-5915. The King's College baseball team will be collecting Jared boxes, or small plastic storage boxes filled with gifts, toys, cards, etc. These Jared boxes will be delivered to chronically ill children at Geisinger Hospital. Jared boxes can be donated to the King's College Athletic Office or a member of the baseball team by February 8th. This has been the WRKC News at 5. I'm News Director Lauren Gallagher. Have a miraculous Monday.
This has been the News at 5 on WRKC, Radio King's College, Wilkes-Barre.